back, but if you've seen him spend any time with him, I bet you have, because Ed's excited about it. And Sarah, I hadn't had a chance to talk a whole lot to you, but I expect you are too. But as I talked to Ed, I realized without too much effort on my part, that trip changed Ed. And I want to give you a specific example how. We're just talking, and something came up about some kids in our area, once somebody I'd come across. We're talking, and I'm not asking for anything. It just comes up in conversation that there were some children as a part of Nelson County I know through baseball that they didn't have all of the stuff that they had hoped they would have for school. Ed said, well, my gosh, if I can go take supplies for people in Belize, I can provide some for somebody here. Ed went out that day and got what was needed. He asked me to contact the mom. I did. She told me what was needed. He went and got it that day. The next day, those kids had everything they needed. So it's not just about, and I want us to understand, when it comes to Harvey, when it comes to doing whatever we're doing, it's when we're doing what God wants us to. It's not about us just doing something in the moment, in that one moment, although it is, and that's valuable. It's about more than that. It changes us. It changes our thinking. We talked about renewing our mind last week. Ed and Sarah are different. Not simply because of what they went and did, but who they did it for. And I don't simply mean the children there. I mean for God. And that changes us. And so, Ed and Sarah, thank you for the way you represent us, the way you make a difference in the kingdom and what you have done. And continue, we invite you to continue to share your story. Today is Labor Day weekend, or today is part of Labor Day weekend. I looked up what Labor Day is. I Googled it, as Ed said. It said it's a tribute to the social and economic advancements and achievements of American workers since the 19th century. So we have a day, or even a whole weekend, set aside that we celebrate the fact that the work that people in this country have done for a long period of time makes a difference. The achievements make a difference. The advancements make a difference, particularly when you're doing it in the right way, with the right heart and a commitment of coming together and invested in our country in the way that many people have over time. So as I think about that and tied into the scripture today, we are laborers for providing for our family. We're laborers in our country. But we should also be laborers for the kingdom of Christ. And in Scripture, it talks about what kind of laborers are needed and why they're needed. And it's all throughout Scripture, but we want to focus on one portion today, and it's tied in the idea of harvest and laborers with the woman at the well. And I have to say, I've never really connected those two together before today. But I think it's intriguing and has a lot to say to us. So what I did was, and if you want to follow along in your bulletin in the sermon notes, I kind of broke it up, this discussion, the conversation we're going to have, the message God may reveal to us, by looking at the different characters in the scripture that Ed just read. And the first one I entitled The Dumbfounded Disciples. Not the dumb disciples, because you know I don't think a single one of us are any smarter than they were. But I think sometimes, a lot of times, we're just as dumbfounded as they are. And dumbfounded, by dumbfounded, I mean surprised, speechless, or stunned. So we can be surprised, we can be left speechless, we can be stunned at what it is we see Christ doing, what Jesus wants to do, what God's doing around us. And this, just really quickly, because there's so much I could go into, but this is what I think caught the disciples off guard. Even though they know there was something going on, so much so that they didn't question Jesus about it, but they didn't really get what was going on. They just knew it was something they needed to pay attention to. But this is what caught them. Jesus was talking to a woman. Not only that, Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman. Not only that, Jesus was talking with a poor, shameful Samaritan woman. But not only that, Jesus was talking sincerely and meaningfully with a poor, shameful Samaritan woman. And I don't know that the disciples knew what to do with this. What was Jesus doing? This didn't fit their understanding of what Jesus was to be about. Yes, he was supposed to be about helping people, but Jesus, do you know who she is? Do you know what other people might say? How are you going to have influence over other people if you're hanging out with her? But Jesus, I've been around you long enough. You got to have some kind of plan, and we just don't get it. So, this portion of the scripture starts off that I believe the disciples were dumbfounded. But I don't believe they stayed there. There was a lesson that Jesus wanted to teach them. And all they really had to do was watch. Because the next character we have, I want to call her a preacher. I want to call her and one commentary referred to it as possibly the first preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. Was the most unexpected, yet extremely effective revival leader. But before we get into her preaching and what she said, let's listen to how she started her journey. Because when she left with the purpose, this is what she did. I think we knew it happened, but I didn't pay attention to maybe the meaning of it. She left her jar. Why did she do that? She left her jar. That's the whole reason she came. The jar's not light. Especially when it's filled with water. And that water she has to have in order to continue her daily life and activities. So why did she leave? Well, I think the first thing may have been, if you read and see what was going on, it was a time that Jesus could have been, maybe should have been eating. Maybe it was a meal time. And so Jesus didn't have water, so it would make sense to leave something for Jesus to have to drink as a part of his meal. And that's one thing that's suggested, not in Scripture, but in commentaries. But that doesn't just happen. You don't just do that. I think if that was the case, that was significant of a relationship that existed, because I can tell you that woman that walked that far and had that water and had drawn it wouldn't just leave that type of thing for anybody. So regardless of whether that was the reason or not, we know there was a relationship there that took place. And that's significant. And that the disciples did see. And that the scripture does speak to. And that we do know. And we can't turn a blind eye to that. But it could have been another reason. Perhaps the woman left, she left in haste because as important as that water was, as meaningful as it was, as critical as it was to her survival, she had discovered something that was more valuable, more meaningful, and more critical through this conversation she had had with the person who she believed may be the Messiah. And so it changed her priorities in an instant. And so she left the water jar. And she went to share her message. So now let's look at the message that she shared and how she shared it. The scripture says she went to the town. It doesn't say she went back to her friends. It doesn't say she went back to her family. And you know, I even wonder, because of what it says about her, how many friends she really had, or how many families she really had that wanted to associate with her because of the reputation she probably had. I don't know that, but I wonder. But it says, even if she had those, she went back to the tank and began to share and began to talk. And you know, last week I talked about renewing of the mind, the message in Romans where it talks about that our mind needs to be renewed as a part of our relationship with Christ. And when we ask for repentance, that part needs to change. And I talked about that if our mind doesn't change, if that aspect of who we are doesn't change and we're still using our mind to try to figure out things and control things and make sense of everything, we're going to continually fall down. We're going to continually fall back. We're going to continually backslide because we're trying to do something that God didn't create us to do. God wants to do it, because this woman, if she hadn't had a renewing of her mind when this happened,
and she had gone back, you know what I believe she would have thought?
I don't care what just happened to me, and this Messiah guy, he could be awesome, but I am of no use to the people in this town. The only thing I'm good for them for is for them to laugh at and have something to gossip about. Because that's how she had been treated. That's how people looked at her. The disciples were even questioning why Jesus would spend time with her. And yes, they were other Samaritans, but they knew something of her story. But there was something that had gone on inside of her that changed her. And that's what has to happen if we're going to share the message God desires us to share. It has to be about the change that happens inside of us. And this leads to the next thing I want to say. What did she say to them? The thing that she talked to the people in the town about was what it was that drew her to Christ, that drew her to Jesus. She said that he told her everything she had ever done. He was all-knowing. And it's obvious there that there was a relationship that happened in the time that was spent. That's what she said. She talked about who he was to her. But then, as she went on, she didn't try to convince them of who Christ could be for them based on her experience. She didn't sit there and have some theological argument. She didn't sit there and even go through some 3 or 5 or 10-step thing of who Christ was and what. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but I'm saying look at what she did. She got excited about that, told them what God had done in her, what Jesus had done in her life, why it excited her, and then said, come, let him do the same for you. Come see him. Come be a part of what he did for me. Because it wasn't about her. It wasn't about some responsibility she felt like she had to do to say, by the way, you can't save a single solitary person. We as Baptists get caught up on that a lot of time. We're supposed to save people. We can't save nobody. It's only Jesus Christ that does that. But some of us get up on our high horse and we think we can. We even try to do it. But we can't. Any more than this woman at the well could. But she was able to lead them to Christ. And that's what we're called to do. I meant to say this when I started out. For the past several weeks, for much of what we talked about during the summer, we focused on things like fear that we face and forgiveness and what forgiveness is like. We talked about renewal of the mind last week. So we're focusing a lot on ourselves and on things that God may want to do and change. And I think that's a good thing. Today, we're going in a different direction. We're not looking so much inward and all of what God may be focused on and wanting to change in us, although that's still there. Today, we're looking at a responsibility we have. We're looking at a calling that we have. And I hope we take that seriously. If we continue, now we've looked at the disciples. We've looked at who might be the first preacher of the gospel to the Samaritans. And next, I want to look at the Samaritans themselves. I said they're inquisitive Samaritans. They're outsiders looking for answers. The disciples, if they had been asked to go and share a word with the Samaritans, if Jesus had told them to do that, what do you think their response would have been? I don't know. But I think they would have given that dumbfounded look again, because it just wasn't something that fit in what they would have understood they were supposed to do. They didn't connect to them kind of people. They didn't have anything in common with those people. And maybe they were even questioning whether the message that they had to share was really for those people. Yet Jesus just modeled that. The shameful woman had to know that these men, particularly mentioned men, but any of the people there would look down on her. She might have been justified in thinking, like I said, that she really wasn't good for anything else. But her experience with God had such a profound impact on her that she actually believed she had something to share with the people of this town that could change their lives in a way that it had changed her. this really could be the Messiah. And you know, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and Jesus Christ has made that type of difference in our lives, I want you to think about it. This woman at the well, she went, and think about the people that she shared with. What motivation would she have to do that? What relationship would she have in doing that other than simply sheer obedience and excitement of who Jesus is and how he yearns for her to go and share that? We should be doing the same thing. If the Messiah is real in our lives and we know the truth, are we doing that? And I'm guessing you could try to throw out some excuses, but I don't know that we could have any that would top the ones that the woman at the well had in terms of not wanting to share with other people. The Samaritans obviously wanted to know what was going on. I don't know that the disciples would have wanted to share, but it was obvious that the Samaritans wanted to know, because when the woman went and shared, it didn't take them very long to respond and begin coming, but they did respond. And as they responded, I wonder what was going through their mind, because they had to have seen something because of the reputation that the woman at the well had. What would it say if these people all of a sudden started following and listening to her? And what she said was important and what she said was meaningful. So they had to see, I believe, they had to see something beyond her in what she communicated. So when we share what God desires us to share with other people out of our relationship with Him, I don't believe we have to be so concerned about what people see in us, because people really aren't looking at us anyway. If God is working through us, they're seeing God. But too often we worry too much about our inadequacies in doing what God's called us to. This brings me back around to what I call the mixed up disciples. They were dumbfounded. Now, they've seen all this, and maybe not dumbfounded anymore, but they feel a little mixed up. They can't understand what Jesus is trying to tell them or get across to them. And I wonder sometimes if the disciples must not have been Baptists, because they're so focused on eating. And I'm wondering, we do, and I like to eat. And I know a lot of you like to eat too, because I've seen you eat. But have you ever gotten so caught up in something in your day, whatever it may have been, that you went through a meal time and didn't eat and didn't even know it? Now, it does not happen to me very often. I promise you that. But there are times, there have been a few times in my life when there was something so big, something so exciting, something so important, something so significant going on in my life, that meal time took a back seat. And that's what happened here with Jesus. And the disciples didn't get it. They thought something was wrong, to the point they're wondering, has somebody already bought him something to eat? But Jesus continued to use this as a teaching time for the disciples. The experience with the woman at the well was food and drink for him that filled the soul. And sometimes that's difficult for us to understand unless we're put in an unusual circumstance. Unless that's a regular part of what we're doing. To just spend time somewhere where we literally feel our soul being filled from the result of what is taking place. But it happens, and that's what Jesus was providing an example of here. Jesus was also trying to incite the disciples to be about their work of sharing the message of Jesus and who the Messiah was in the same manner he had shared it with the woman at the well, and to share that message with urgency, passion, and conviction. And when we do that, he challenged the disciples to do that. And you look in Scripture, and they did. As time went on, there were disciples, there were apostles, there were people that stood in the face of fear, in the face of stoning, and said that they couldn't do anything else but that. That's who Christ wants us to be. And then we come to what brings us around and I think connects us to this whole Labor Day message. And it goes to the harvest, the sowers and the reapers. And as it talks about that, it talks about a degree of unity and how one does sow and one does reap, and that is the way the kingdom is intended to be. And so, when we look at that, there are a few things we can see. The passage talks about what I call a sense of urgency. It talked about, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest, but I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field, they're ripe for harvest. There are times when we want to put off what God calls us to do. We must be ready to go when the opportunity arises. We must. There's an example I've shared a couple of times, I think, and I'm sharing this because I want... How many here are in middle school? If you're in middle school, raise your hand. One, two, all right, a few. Four or five here. This happened to me when I was in middle school. I had just finished gym class, and I had these little smelly locker things. I don't know if that put my street clothes in, but it probably made it stink by the time I got back in there. But I'd take my street clothes out and put them back on. And as I was in the midst of putting my street clothes back on, there was a guy in middle school who came up to me and said, "I know you're one of those Christian kids. What does this God stuff really all mean anyway?" Middle school. And I looked at him and I looked around because you know what my first thought was? Somebody's about to try to make fun of me. He was by himself. Asking me a question that I believe to this day was genuine. And I stumbled and tried the best I could to have a conversation. But I tell you, ever since that day, and I remember like I could still go back into the school I was in and stand at that exact spot. Never again did I want a time to come when I had an opportunity to communicate with somebody about who Christ was that I wasn't. It will happen. It can happen. If you're a believer, God's going to give you opportunities on a regular basis. And we love that. There's a reason that this scripture is put in here about not putting it off. We can make all sorts of excuses, but if it's there, we have a responsibility. The harvest is won. And we're put there. We're not to turn our backs. We're not to make excuses. The second thing, it talks about drawing a wage. Even now, in verse 36, even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests crops for eternal life. So, this says we're going to get benefit from it. We're not supposed to be thinking that way, but the Bible just said it. We get a wage. We benefit. We profit from doing this. You know what our profit is? It's not in jewels. It's not in money. It's in joy, purpose, and understanding the reason that we were created. We get a joy. We understand we're part of God's bigger purpose. And we're co-creators with God in the kingdom. And that's the most meaningful thing that can happen to us on the face of this earth, short of our own salvation, is helping others to be a part of recognizing who God desires to be in their life. And the very last thing I want to say, we are sowers and reapers. And we're sowers and reapers together. And sowers go in and plant the seeds and they share the words of Christ. Reapers help bring somebody to the point of that connection really hits. And it's based on a lot of times something that's been simmering for a very long time. But we come together and we have responsibilities in all of us. If you are a believer, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not saying you're called to be a pastor. I'm not saying you're called to be an evangelist. You're called to be a missionary. You're called to be a Sunday school teacher. But I am telling you, you are called to be a sower and or a reaper. Every single one of us. And we must accept that responsibility. And you don't have to be somebody other than who God created you to be to do. I'm not saying it's always going to be comfortable, but I'm saying you don't have to be somebody else. I want to throw out a few quick examples of ways, places that you can be. Some of you are. One of the things I wanted to share this morning is our children's ministry. We talk about being ripe for the harvest. We have children that come in. We have lots. You can look around now and see the children that we have. We're struggling right now to have children's leaders in our children's ministry. And I'm not the type of pastor that will go and beg somebody to come and do something just because it's a position to be filled. I believe God calls you. But right now, there are some children who need to be sowed into. There are some children who need to have people who God is convicting to teach and lead. There's also the well center that we have, and our deacons in particular have talked about that a lot recently, and we're reaching out to them. And in the next week or two, I think we're going to be handing out some things as parents come and drop off and pick up to let them know that we as a church just care about them and build relationships there. There's opportunities to go there and share gifts and talents, reading, hobbies that you may have. You also have opportunity with your neighbors. I'm wondering in today's society how well we even know our neighbors. But if we pay attention, God gives those opportunities. Same with our family, people in crisis. Crisis opportunities open doors. There are those that are hurting, disadvantaged, the least of these. But they're also the opposite of that. Those who are at the top, who seem extremely successful, but their life is empty. Whether you're talking about the CEO of a company or whether you're talking about the head cheerleader in high school, both of them can be totally empty. Yet they seem more personal. And they need to know that somebody is doing. What is God doing or want to do around us that might leave us dumbfounded? And how will we respond? Will we pay attention to what God's doing? Is it possible that like the woman left the jar behind, God wants us to leave something behind and focus on a life-changing message he has for us and those around us? Is there something? And it doesn't have to be a bad something, but is there something that we're so focused on that it's keeping us from experiencing the fullness of God? Then next, God has asked each of us to share his message with others. And if you're a believer, there's a message you have. There's a way God's touched your life, and we're supposed to be sharing that. What kind of testimony or invitation are you giving to others? Do people feel you're trying to convince them of something, feed them a line, make them more like you? Or do they even know if you've got a testimony? Or are people sensing that you are inviting them to meet the Christ who knows them and can bring them to a place that their life can be changed in a way they've been yearning for a very long time? Finally, how much sowing or reaping have you done recently? The fields are plentiful. The harvest is ripe. The workers are few. Lord, we come to this time, and Lord, it's hard. And I know because of conversations I've had. I know because of my own personal life. I know because of my family and people that I'm close to. Life is just so busy sometimes and so much going on. And God, we want to get all the things right and doing what we're supposed to do. But God, sometimes maybe we just need to stop running. To focus on that relationship with you. And recognize if there are things that need to be put aside. If there are places we need to go, if there are people we need to hear different or have conversations with or initiate conversations with. Lord, maybe it's family. Maybe it's somebody that we know is hurting. Maybe it's somebody that we've hurt. But God, allow us to be your people. Lord, I just said allow us. So you've invited us to already. Just give us the strength. Give us the knowledge. Give us the wisdom. God, I know you want us to. You want us to be sowers and reapers as we go out. Lord, we could think right now, and it probably have been. It's been a distraction of the things we've got to do this week. But Lord, help us to recognize that the most important thing that we can ever do this week is to sow into the lives of other people evidence of who you are in our lives, and are be willing to reap, to help those who are yearning to come along, to discover you, to, if they don't know what step to take, to walk along in that step with them, to demonstrate the love, to answer some questions, or walk alongside and help them find the answers to the questions, God. But help us to be your people the way you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. If you would, stand with me. The altar's open. I'm here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I can tell you it's an awesome, amazing experience that changes your life, just like it did the woman that we saw today. If you are